Every year, in recent years, we've been choosing a different Haggadah to go through for the Haggadah Shir instead of just picking random insights from different Haggadahs. So I'm not really sure why. This isn't like the third most important Haggadah in the world, even though this is our third year doing it, but I saw it just came out this year, the Haggadah L'Flagos Reuven from Rav Reuven Bengis, Rav Zelig Reuven Bengis. For those who do not know who Rav Zelig Reuven Bengis was, he was the Gaivit of the Badatz in Yerushalayim. He took over for Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld in the 1930s. He died, I think, in the early 1950s at the age of 90. He was a super duper genius. He had a photographic memory. They have a nice biography of him in the back. It says, just to give a maisa, it says that in Valazhin, they used to have a system, depending on how brilliant you were, that if you were really good, they would call you an Eloi. If you were pretty good, they would call you a Chatzi Eloi. And if you were okay, they would call you a quarter Eloi. All of those people would be on a very high level, meaning the quarter Eloys were pretty good also. So Bengis, it says in the biography in the back, and I could not have made this up, it says that Rav Bengis used to say about himself that, I'll find it, yeah, Ani hayisi nikra Eloy. Rav Isser Zalman hayi nikra chatzi Eloy. Rav Baruch Ber, rova Eloy. He was called an Eloi. He was called a full Eloi. This is Al Meltzer, a Chatzi Eloi. Baruch Mer was a quarter Eloi. So he was very beloved by the Netziv. The Netziv wrote beautiful things about him. And the story went that in Valazhin Yeshiva, of course, was closed down because of the introduction of secular studies mandated by the government. So if even before that, they would send a Russian professor every once in a while to see if some of the boys knew Russian, if they knew some basics of Russian. So the Netziv had asked Rav Bengis to study a little bit of Russian poetry so that he could impress the professors. And a professor came, and they said, look, we have a boy here, why don't you talk to him? And the professor said, what do you know about this? And he asked about a certain poet, and Rav Bengis repeated the whole all of his poetry by heart. And he says, wow, you seem to know it backwards and forwards. He says, I taka do know it backwards. And he repeated the entire thing backwards as well. He had this kind of memory. And they said, okay, this guy is not a good example of what the yeshiva is, because he's obviously an unusual kind of Talmud. They said in one Purim, one year in the yeshiva, one of the guys got up and said that if Rav Bengis, if the Eloi can take two Masechtas, Masechtas Beitza and Masechtas Bar Metzia, and not just recite them Bal Peh, but go first word of Beitza, first word of Bar Metzia, second word of Beitza, second word of Bar Metzia, and go through the Masechta Mishnayos that way, so I'll give everyone another barrel of wine or something. And he got up and he did the whole Masechta, a very unusual kind of genius. When we say knows things backwards and forwards, apparently he actually did know things backwards and forwards. The drawback to this Haggadah is that he didn't write it himself, but he did write his drushas of Shabbos HaGadol, and these were pretty much all taken from the Shabbos HaGadol drushas. They were set in connection to the Haggadah. It's not like some of those Haggadahs that I have a strong distaste for that take things that have absolutely nothing to do with the Haggadah and just try to connect it to the Haggadah so that they could sell another Haggadah. The Torahs over here actually do very much relate to the Haggadah itself, and I found it very interesting, so we'll do a bunch of pieces in Rav Bengis's Haggadah. Rav Kook also was a Talmud in the Valazhin Yeshiva. Rav Bengis, the first time he was invited to come to the Eidu Charedus, turned it down because he didn't want to be a rival with Rav Kook. And then he only accepted the position after Rav Kook passed away. There was a famous maisa with Rav Kook that Rav Bengis had a yard site once. They were vacationing somewhere in the same place, and they needed a tenth man for a minion. And Rav Bengis had yard site, he was going to lead the minion, and he didn't realize someone, one of the askanim, ran outside to grab a tenth man and robbed the tenth man from another minion where somebody else was about to daven for the amun. So the guy who was about to daven for the amun for his own yard site, the other minion, comes in, sees Rav Bengis is leading the tefillah, and starts yelling at him. Bizyayin starts screaming at him. Rav Kook goes up to the man and slaps him across the face and says, you can't be Mvazel Talmud Chacham that way. He got sued for it, whatever. It's a whole story. But Rav Kook and Rav Bengis also had a very good relationship based on, I assume, their time together probably in Valazhin. Or just the fact that they're both Talmidim of the Netziv. So anyway, so let's begin with Rav Bengis is also the Rebbe of Rav Eliashiv. The author of this Haggadah said he's a descendant of Rav Bengis. They went to Rav Eliashiv for a bracha. Rav Eliashiv said whenever when you write over his his Torah is just make sure that you don't lose his Gaonus in the process, because a lot of times in trying to bring his Torah down to a level that we can understand it, you could lose out on the Gaonus a little bit. He was a Gaon Olam, a Gaon Adir. So let's begin. We'll begin with the Dalet Kosos. He puts this by Kiddush, but of course it's about the Dalet Kosos in general. The Dalet Kosos, the Yerushalmi tells us, are Keneged the Arba Lashonos Shel Geula. Rashi quotes that in Maseches Pesachim as well, that the Dalet Kosos relate to Votzesi V'Tzalti V'Gaalti V'Lakachti. Now there are a lot of Torahs out there in terms of what the Dalet Lashonos of Geula really represent, the Dalet Geulos. Some people call it what they actually represent in terms of reality, in terms of what changed at four different stages of Geula. Rav Benga suggests the following. He says that there are four Geulos that we're celebrating. Number one, he says, the fact that we're under someone else's jurisdiction, even if the work wasn't particularly hard, just being under somebody else, the fact that another nation is, we're in servitude under the rulership of another nation, is itself a bad thing, and that was one thing we were saved from. Number two, he says, the actual work was extremely difficult. So that was a second major problem that we had that we were saved from. Number three, he says, Horidu Karnam Shal Yisrael. It was a bizayon for Klal Yisrael. It was just, we weren't respected. No one in the world looked at us as an Orla Goyim. We weren't viewed as even a nation, really. We were viewed as just a band of slaves. And that was something that we needed to be saved from. And number four, he says, the Ruchnius the Shleimus HaNefesh that we were missing because we couldn't achieve in Ruchnius based on our life circumstances as slaves in Mitzrayim was also a very challenging thing. And all of these things were things that required Geula. I should mention now, actually, in general, when I go through Agadas, I try to look for a theme, if there's one theme that drives the author. So Rav Benga's theme is not a unique one. It's in almost every Haggadah you'll find. Everyone who wrote a commentary to the Haggadah has the concept of Geulas HaGuf and Geulas HaNefesh. And that's his theme also, that he carries through to almost every Dvar Torah. It relates to the double Geula, the Geula Saguf and the Geula Sanefesh, and he over here he divides it into four, but throughout the rest of the Agadah he pretty much divides it into two, the physical Geula and the spiritual Geula. And like many other commentaries of the Agadah, he says that nowadays we don't have the Geulas HaGuf to celebrate really anymore because Akati Avdi Achashverosh Anan, so therefore our emphasis Bizman Hazeh is more the Geulas HaNefesh. It's that we remember that Shari Tuma, we would have been lost forever, and now we got out of Mitzrayim and we're able to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam, we have a Torah, we have Taryag Mitzvos, so the Geulas HaNefesh is what is worthwhile to celebrate nowadays. The Geulas HaGuf sort of takes a backseat if it's celebrated at all. So Rav Benga suggests, again, these four shibudim that we had, he says, relate directly to the Dalid Lashonos of Geula. Number one, he says, Votzesi. Votzesi is Prikas Ol Hashibud, the very fact that we were Meshubud to another nation, so that Mimela makes it, as soon as HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us out, we're no longer Meshubud, and now we're in better shape. Vitzalti Eschem Me Avodasam, emphasizes the actual avoda that we were doing, that we were saved from back-breaking labor. And that's not just being under the jurisdiction of some other nation, that's the fact that we were killing ourselves. It was very, very challenging. The Ga'alti, that he says relates to our shiflus be'enei ha'amim, that the other nations of the world didn't respect us, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us biyad chazaka v'rama, and now the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu becomes very public, it's a public spectacle, the world sees it, and the world sees that God did all these miracles for us. So now we're respected people. And V'lakachti is about our Ruchnius. V'lakachti is because of our Yerida in Ruchnius, by the fact that we were slaves, we didn't have the ability to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So V'lakachti relates to Matan Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed our Neshamos to become Shalim. And he says, he takes this one step further, and he says, and that's why when you go through the Seder, goes through these four steps. The Dalet Kosos also relate to these four steps. And he says there's only one thing that's out of order, and that is that we start with the end. We start with the Velokachti, because in terms of the Seder, it's important, as with many other things in life, to keep the goal in mind from the outset. That when we sit down, we have to know where we're supposed to end up at Chatzos that night. That we're supposed to end up with, Halvai, it should be by Chatzos, that we should finish all Dalakosos, like the Rama says, by Chatzos, or at least the Afikomen. By Chatzos, but we're supposed to know where. I asked one of my chaverim in yeshiva, Rav Eliyahu Wolf, what his father-in-law Rav Willig does about making it by Chatzos. He says he makes it every year. He finishes all the Olive Kosos by Chatzos. It's always a battle, and it's always a rush at the end, and we always finish exactly 3 seconds before Chatzos or something like that. But anyway, so you have to set the goal from the outset that you know exactly where you're heading. So says Rav Bengus. So that's why Keneged Inyan Zeh Tiknu Chazal Kos Rishon. The first kos is Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Am, that our Kodesh Baruch Hu has chosen us, that He has given us the ability of being Mashlim Aron Nefesh. That's Kiddush. That's the coast of Kiddush. He says, now we go back to the order. Then the second coast is Vautzesi. It's the coast that we say, that we hold when we say Avadim Ayinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. That's the basic Shibud Aguf. The third coast is Vihitzalti, that we say Birchas HaMazon, where we're Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the fact that He gives us Eretz Yisrael, and with Eretz Yisrael saves us from Avodah Bechlal, not just Shibud under a foreign nation, but a matzav of chayrus. Hashem has saved us into a matzav of chayrus. And then the fourth coast is v'ga'alti, that we say the halal. That's that Hashem was mefarsim us as a shevach be'inei ha'amim. So if Hashem gives us this shevach in the eyes of the nations, the least we could do is give Him a public shevach that we can praise Him with a halal. So again, he lines up the dalit kosos, the dalit shonos of geula, and these four stages of geula. So that is insight number one from Rav Bengus. Moving along, halach ma'anya. So the Haggadah tells us, halach ma'anya diachla v'sanu bar d'mitzrayim kol dichvin yesei v'yechol kol disrich yesei v'yifsach. So he says, he thinks that we can explain this based on a perush the Dubna Magid has in Shir HaShirim. The pasuk in Shir HaShirim says, Hanitzanim niru ba'aretz, that the sprouts appeared in the ground, and the Medrash Rabbah in Shmos Rabbah actually says, Amra Knesset Yisrael lefanav, the Klal Yisrael says to the Ribbono Shalom, Ribbono Olamim, Arba Meo Shana Amarta Lanu Lishtabed Vadayin Lo Shilmu. You told us we're going to be in servitude for 400 years, and it didn't finish. 400 years were never over. Amalak Var Shalmu Miyad Gilu Atzadikim Es Rashayim Shayim Mechusa. Hashem says, okay, now the time is up, and now the Tzadikim exposed their heads that were covered. Shenemar Hanitzanim Niru Ba'aretz. Like it says, those early sprouts sprout forth in the land. Elu Shifto Shalevi, that's the Tzadikim, the Levim, the Kohanim, the Malachim. That's what the Medrash says. So says the Ibn Magid, what in the world is the Medrash talking about? There's some sort of conversation. Are we ready? You're about ready. And then the Tzadikim sprout up, but everyone else doesn't sprout up. And that's referring to something that sprouts out of the ground. What are we talking about over here? Says the Ibn Magid, the Medrash means to say as follows, that in order to be zocha to a Yetzias Mitzrayim, we needed to reach a certain Madrega. The Tzadikim got there first. Most of Klal Yisrael, after 210 years, were not ready to go straight into Eretz Yisrael. The tzaddikim were ready to go straight into Eretz Yisrael. They could have gone straight from Mitzrayim and don't pass go, have gone straight into Eretz Yisrael. But the dalim shebi Yisrael needed a little more time to separate themselves, to tear themselves apart from Avodah Zarah, to be mekadesh themselves, to prepare themselves for a Kabbalah Satorah, to be an Am Skula for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, just like when you plant in a field, some things come out very quickly from the ground, and others take a little more time. But there's one harvest season. And the things that come out very, very quickly from the ground will have to wait till more stuff grows before it's harvested. Because they just need, it's just not worth the effort to go harvest only a few things and then wait for everything else to grow. So says the Dubna Magid, that's the idea of the Tzadikim. The Tzadikim may have been ready, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there's going to need to be an odyssey in the Midbar for 40 years, because everybody needs to be ready before we go into into Eretz Yisrael. That was the Eitz of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to take us in this svivah around the Midbar, so that we all have time, so that those who are on a lower level have a chance to catch up. And he says that's what Chazal Amramis to. Ve'yasev Elokim es ha'am mikan amru Rabbeinu afilu ani shebi Yisrael lo yochel ad sheyesev shekein asal HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'midbar. So the Yasev Elokim es ha'am, God took us in a circuitous route in the Midbar. From there we see that even an ani shebi Yisrael needs to do a seba. So says the Dubna Magid, ani shebi Yisrael means not just an ani in monetary ani, but an ani who's an ani b'mitzvos. That even the ani shebi Yisrael was zocha to a seba. Why? Vayasev es ha'am, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us in a circuitous route for him, so that he also can be ready. He also should have what to celebrate. And he says that's all there in that pasuk in that drash that Chazal have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu taking us out in this circuitous way, and that's what the 40 years were there to fix. And he says that's what the Medrash compares the tzaddikim to the nitzanim. These are the things that grow out very quickly, even though they're already ready earlier. But it's Hashem Barov Chazdo V'Tuvo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his great kindness decides to wait for everybody else. And he says that's the tzura of the Geula Hasida as well. It's a very important message that every Chag HaPesach we want to emphasize that Hasebas Ani Shebi Yisrael is going to count also. That even those who aren't maybe up to par to what we would consider worthy of Geula, we need to wait for them. We're going to need them. And we cannot ignore them. It's at our own peril that we ignore them, because we can't go anywhere without them. Klal Yisrael is a single unit. So he says, that's why we begin the Seder, Dafka B'Lel Pesach, Lahachnis is Kol Yisrael, Aniyim B'mamon, Aniyim B'das. No matter how they're Aniyim, whether they're Aniyim monetarily, they're Aniyim B'das. Ulechazgum Lahazbir Lahem, to give them chizik and to explain to them that the Gula Asida is going to be just like Yitzias Mitzrayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits for all of them to be Mekadesh themselves. So we begin, Kol Dich Vin Yesev Yechol, Kol Dichrich Yesev Yivsach. Everyone gets included in our Seder because we need them as much as they need us. And we have to try to uplift people through the Seder. And it happens to be, if you speak to people who are Balei Tshuva, so again, the most common things that turn them on or that excite them about Yiddishkeit are Shabbos, a visit to the Kotel. But a Seder is very often a big thing. When they get to see a Seder, how it really works and how children are sharing Torah with their parents, and the parents are asking questions, and the parents are passing on a tradition, it's a very beautiful thing, not to be underestimated. In fact, you find more interest, at least from judging by the shilas I get, about who you're allowed to and not allowed to have at the Seder. I get a lot of questions about Goyim always expressing an interest to be at the Seder. It's intriguing. It's something that people are interested in, because it's something that it sounds like a family-oriented person who wants to pass on some sort of message to his children would be interested in something like this. It sounds very interesting, and it is something that has the ability to lift people up. So that sets the tone for the Seder night, that if we want Geula, we're not going alone. We need to wait for everybody else. Okay, so then we move on. He doesn't really have anything good on Manishtana, anything at all on Manishtana, so he doesn't have a Manishtana. So he moves on to Avad Mayinu. So he says this could relate back also to the Dal Lashonos of Geula, that again, in Yitzias Mitzrayim we have the Hafkas Shibud Haguf and the Hafkas Shibud HaNefesh. We had both the physical and the spiritual servitude. Avodah Mayinu is Avodas HaGuf. B'Mitzrayim, he says, is the B'Makom Tumah, is the emphasis on Mitzrayim, that in a place, not only were we Avodim, that's physical servitude, but look where we were in Mitzrayim. That's the Shibur of the Nefesh, that's the challenge of the Tumas Mitzrayim. So we say, Avodah Mayinu L'Paro B'Mitzrayim, then what do we say? V'Yotzienu Hashem Elokeinu Misham. Hashem took us out from there, means to say, why does it mean, he says this paragraph is addressing the major question of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out so early. Meaning, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us out early, there's a drawback to that, because now we owe him 190 years. If he takes us out after 210 years, that means there's going to have to be other galuyos afterwards. Chazal tell us HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gozer, and Rashi in Chumash quotes this in Shemos Paragimel on the Pasuk Eke Asher Eke, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gozer owed galuyos at the together with Golus Mitzrayim. So wouldn't it have been better for us to just wait? Meaning, get it over with at once. You know, when you have to go through something challenging, something difficult, just do it at once. Don't do a little bit, then a little bit. You just want to get it over with. Wouldn't it have been better for us to get all 400 years over with at one time? So the Bala Gadda tells us, Vayotzienu Misham, that the reason that we had a Yetziah, when we had a Yetziah, the reason it had to be B'chipazon, and it had to be at that point in time, was because it was Sham. We were there in Mitzrayim. Remember where we were. It was Tumas Mitzrayim. Physically, you're right. It would have been better to get it all over with. We never would have had to suffer a physical galus again. But the spiritual galus, we couldn't tolerate anymore. Memtesh Aritum, we weren't going to make it past that. Another moment, we would have been lost. And therefore, he says, Bizman Azeh, when we still have Shibud Galus, Akati Avdei HaChashverosh, like the expression the Gemara Megillah goes, that we're still Avadim HaChashverosh, we're still physically in exile, but we still emphasize on the night of the Seder, at the very beginning, Ilu lohotzi, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take us, Harei anu b'nei baninu mishubadim leparo, we still would have remained in galus in the sense of a galus hanefesh. We need to celebrate, and this is where he sort of sets up the rest of the Seder, and he has many, many vartlach about this, that what we're really celebrating is a geulas hanefesh. Geulas haguf, we're going to celebrate one day, but we don't have that yet. Geulas haguf, we did celebrate Bizman HaMishnah when we had the Batei Migdash. We celebrated Geulas haguf. But nowadays, we don't celebrate a Geulas haguf as much anymore. All we have is a Geulas HaNefesh. So that's how he touches up the paragraph of Avadim Hayinu, or the first couple of sentences of Avadim Hayinu. The Agada then goes on after Avadim Hayinu to the story with Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Tarfon, and then after that, Amar Rabbi leads right into Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah, Harei Ani Kiven Shivim Shana, that Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah says, I was Kiven Shivim Shana, and I didn't know you're supposed to say Yitzias Mitzrayim B'leilos, Ad Shedrasha Ben Zoma, till Ben Zoma came along, and he taught me where we learned to say Yitzias Mitzrayim B'leilos, Kol Yemei Chayecha is L'Rabos HaLeilos, but the Chum disagree, they say, no, Kol Yemei Chayecha is L'Havi Limos HaMashiach. So what's this machlokas about? Says Rav Bengis, again, this is a little bit more detailed. Says Rav Bengis, he quotes from a Sefer Arvei Nachal, who explains that Yesh Lachkor, Geulas Mitzrayim, is Geulas Mitzrayim an eternal Geula, or is it a temporary Geula? Is Geulas Mitzrayim, we got out of Mitzrayim, okay, for now, but you're going back into Geulas? Or was something accomplished with Geulas Mitzrayim that's eternal, that's everlasting, and we're never going back into that kind of Geulas again? Nafkamina would be that if it's Nitzvis, if it's eternal, so then we're not going to need to be Mashlim anything, because it's eternal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu finished it, we're done. Whereas if it's not eternal, if it's just for Zman, for some time, so then there's going to have to be another Geulas. So he says, this is Tali in the two Shitos of how you do the cheshbon of the 400 years. If you count the 400 years from Leidas Yitzchak, so the Geula came right on time. So we were done. It's over. And therefore it was Geula Nitzchis. But if you say that really we came out early, it was just the Koshi Ashibud was Mashlim the 400 years, so then it's not a Geula Nitzchis, because we're still Balei Chov for the other 190 years. We still owe that. And he says this also may relate to, if you say that there are two deus in the Medrash, was it Hashem b'chvodo v'atzmo that took us out of Mitzrayim, or it was Al Yidei Malach? 2 days in the Medrash. We're familiar with the passage in the Haggadah, Nivel Osarav, right by Makos Bechoros, but the actual Geula itself, 2 days in the Medrash, in Medrash Rabin Shemos, in Parsha Yud Zayin, whether it was Hashem himself that took us out, or it was Al Yidei Malach. So he says, maybe that's also totally on this issue. If it was Hashem himself that did it, what Hashem does is Nitzchi, what Hashem does is everlasting. If it was a Malach that helped out, then it's not going to be everlasting. He says, maybe that's how we could explain also the Machlokas Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Kiva, Maseches Pesachim. They have an argument, the Bracha Asher Ga'alanu, that we say in the Haggadah, that Bracha of Asher Ga'alanu, are you Chosem with a Baruch or not? Do you finish off the Bracha with a Baruch or not? He says, maybe Rabbi Tarfon holds that the geula wasn't a geula shlema, and therefore you're not chosim with the bracha. Ki lo shay chasima el al davar mugmar. Chasima is a chasima. It's when something is finished, when it's over. But Rabbi Akiva holds you are chosim because this was a davar mugmar. This was something that was complete. So he says that's what Ben Zoma and the Chum may be arguing about. Ben Zoma holds the geula was nitzchis. It was al yidei Hashem ba'atzmo, and therefore all the galuyos that we're going to suffer after Gulas Mitzrayim is not tashlumin for what we suffered. That's over. Whatever we had in Mitzrayim is done. Whatever happens afterwards is something new. Gulas Mitzrayim was shalem, it was absolutely complete. And therefore, we're not going to mention over here, mashallah asadavo. As opposed to the Rabbanon, who hold that the Geula was kodem azman, was early, so the shaychus of the Geula Asida, it relates to Gulas Mitzrayim, because the Geula Asida is the completion of Gulas Mitzrayim. So the Chachamim are going to say that when we're talking about Leman Tizkor, Yom Tzeischa, the Kol Yimei Chayecha, so we're talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim, but it's not, the story's not finished yet till the final chapter. And the final chapter is Gula Asida. So Ben Zoma says, Yimei Chayecha Hayamin, Kol Yimei Chayecha Halelos. But we're not going to talk about in the Gula Asida. The Gula Asida is a new Gula, and we're not going to discuss Gulas Mitzrayim. We're not going to bring it back to Gulas Mitzrayim. It's a new issue. Whereas the Chacham will say, no, the Gulas Mitzrayim doesn't end until we're mashlim throughout thousands of years of Jewish history. We're mashlim the 190 missing years of Shibud Mitzrayim throughout all the years of Jewish history, and that ultimately only comes to an end. We only close the chapter with the Gula. And that's why the Chum say, Kol Yimei Chayecha Lahavi Mimos HaMashiach. So that's how he understands the Machlokas, Ben Zoma, and the Chacham. Okay, moving along to the Dalet Banim. We'll keep it moving. One very brief insight before we move on. He has by the Rasha. Rasha Mahu Omer, so it's always the most difficult thing. How do you deal with a child who's a challenging child? So, you know, most psychologists do not advise punch him in the teeth and, you know, knock out his teeth and tell him, yeah, and that's why you're not part of this family. That's usually not the most advised way. So what's this? Hakhe es shinav. And it's also a very strange lashman. Hakhe with a kuf. Mm-hmm. Hey kuf, hey hey. That's that you make somebody, you beat somebody up, so it's with a chaf, right? You make somebody. What's hakhe es shinav? So he says, very interesting, I don't know, maybe this is a famous thing, I never heard this before, I thought this was fascinating. He quotes from the Sefer Agudas Ezov, that the Rush is asking, why don't I get a piece of the Korban Pesach? How come everyone else gets the Korban Pesach and I don't get a piece? And there's an answer. Pasuk in the Torah, Kol ben Nechar lo yochal bo. You know, there are some people that are knowing, even Bizman Azeh, that they won't invite non-religious people to the Seder, the opposite of what we were saying before, because Kol ben Nechar lo yochal bo. They don't want anyone who's not up to snuff. We don't have a Korban Pesach? Okay, but there's a Zecher to... So the Rasha, we tell him, sorry, you don't get a piece of the Korban Pesach. Kol ben Nechar lo yochal bo. Rashi says in the name of the Mechilta, on that Pasuk, it doesn't only mean a guy. Mishin esnachru mas of love shebashamayim. Someone who doesn't behave properly. Someone who's not a proper Jew. Who's not behaving like a proper Jew. So he says that's what it means, hakei ashinav, meaning, hakei means to make him salivate, make his teeth salivate a little bit. It's a kiyuha. It's a lashon of when you see a pickle and you know your mouth salivates. When he sits there and he watches everybody else eat the Korban Pesach and he says, how come I don't get a piece? We say, yeah, you don't get a piece, and we're going to eat it right in front of your face, and you're going to have to suffer from watching us eat it. He says, just like he says, where do you ever see a lashon of kuf and a hay like this? The Gemara in Ksuv is called the isle recha the isle kiyuha. It talks about fruits that have reyach and kiyuha. What's kiyuha? When you smell it, it causes, like when you see a pickle or something, and it causes you to salivate a little bit. He says, that's af ata hakei. Eat it in front of his face, and sheen of chaos. It's not knocking out his teeth. And he says it's kimat mefurash kein bedivrei haramban, that the Rishayim are going to be kohim umisavim to eat the Korban Pesach, because Ramban in Bereishis Perek Mem Tes, velo yikhas amim, kofei again, yikhas amim, says in the name of the Medrash, hofiel lem HaKadosh Baruch Hu reach tov mi bismei gan Eden, v'yisa nafshem kohe le'echol. Again, the same lashon. It's kuf vav hey, that they're going to see the pleasant aroma of Gan Eden, and they're just going to be salivating over it. They're going to be dying to eat it. They're going to be wishing they could eat it. Amar lahem kach amar li HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kol b'necha lo yochol bo, says the Ramban. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say to the Rishayim, sorry, or we're going to say to the Rishayim, sorry, kol b'necha lo yochol bo. You don't get to enjoy this. This reminds me a little bit of the Gemara at the end of Masechta Shabbos. In the Gemara Shabbos, Daf Kuf Nun Gimel, it talks about lasadava, what's going to be with the Rishayim. Right? So first it says, maybe the Rishayim will be, like everyone, the Tzaddikim will be sitting at the Suda, and the Rishayim will be like standing on the side. So Gemara says, nah, that's not good enough. They're standing on the side. Everyone's going to just think they're the Shamashim. No one's going to think anything bad of it. So no, they're going to sit at the table, but they don't get to eat. That's Gehenna. That's the Gehenna. The Gehenna is not just that you don't get to enjoy the schar. It's that you have to watch everyone else enjoy the schar. You get to see what you could have done. You get to see the potential of what you could have done and what you didn't do and what you passed up and for what. Meaning for what type of hanaos olam hazeh that's so fleeting, and look what we pass up sometimes in terms of the hana of the olam ha'emes. So that's the hakeyas shinav. Does everyone know that word? Like I never heard that before. I thought that was, and it's mamish kuf hey hey. It's the word comes up all over the place. I thought it may be pshat. No, I was like blown away. It's, okay, every haggadah is one new pshat that you didn't hear before. Okay. Let's move on. The Haggadah after the Dalet Banim tells us, Yachol Mei Rosh Chodesh, Tam Lomar Bayom Ahu. So Yi Bayom Ahu, Yachol Mei Bod Yom, Tam Lomar Bavor Zeh Lomar Teh Bashosh Yish Matzah Omar Menachim Lefanecha. So all the Mepharshim ask, what do we say? Bavor Sheyesh, Bishosh Sheyesh Matzah Omar Menachim Lefanecha. Kol Shalom Rishlosh Shavar Velo Liyatsi Yidei Chavasa Pesach. No, what are the three things? Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. So why is it only B'Shosh Yesh Matzah, Maror, Menachem, Lefnecha? How could we leave out the most important part? Karban Pesach. He says, and don't tell me that this is for when the Beis HaMikdash was not around. This is in a Braisa and Pesachim. It's a Drasha Gemura from the times of the Beis HaMikdash. So it's a Drasha Gemura from a Pasuk that obviously refers to the times of the Beis HaMikdash also. Because Man HaTorah, they needed Karban Pesach. So why do we leave Karban Pesach out? So he says the Yesod. He says, there's no chiddush that we're chayiv to tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, that we experience this great ge'ula, that we would have to tell the story of getting out of slavery. After all, the Gemara tells us that Rav Nachman asked his Eved, Avda demapik le'mara l'cheirus, v'yav le'mari kaspa v'dava, my boy le'memerlei. Rav Nachman asked a common Eved. He said, if a master lets a servant go out and gives him a lot of money on the way out, no, what does the servant have to do? So the servant says, "Boyle duyle shvuche, hoda shavach." You have to do so. Yeah, you could. The gratitude should be never ending. Any bar das realizes that. Of course, you have to. What's the drasha? What's the chiddush that we have to be misaper yitzias mitzrayim? Of course, we have to. The chiddush is that even bizman hazeh, even when we're back in avdus, when akati avdi achashverosh anan. So he said the Gemara in one more kasha, and then he says it will all come together. The Gemara in Pesachim Kuf Yedal tells us matzah called lechem oni, because onim alav dvarim harbe. Right? We say a lot of things on this bread. Ask the Abarbanel, amongst a thousand other questions. Ask the Abarbanel, why do we say onim alav dvarim harbe dafka to matzah more than any of the other cheftzei mitzvah? Why not onim alav dvarim harbe on the Pesach or the Maror? Why is it dafka on the matzah that it's a matzah has to be the lechem that's onim alav dvarim harbe? So he says lechem oni is the ksav is lechem oni, right, without the vav. It's literally a poor man's bread, which means it's the bread that we eat bizman hazeh in galus. It is a person's galus bread. When we're in a galus that's bitter and long, how can we possibly celebrate a Yitzias Mitzrayim? The nechama is that we have the Torah, that we have a Klei Zayin against the Yetzer Hara. We have the weaponry to be able to defeat the Yetzer Hara, to be a Ben Chorin, not just from a Golos HaGuf, but primarily the Golos HaNefesh. So he says that's why it's Dafka on the Lechem Ani. Dafka on the Lechem Ani, where we're demonstrating the gullus that we're in, we're also onim alav dvarim harbe, to show that the point of the sipur, of course, yeah, to celebrate that we got out of avdus is something that's obvious. You don't need a mitzvah to tell me to do that. But what about nowadays? What's there to celebrate? We're back in avdus. Rabdei Achashverosh Hanan. So take that lechem ani and still be onim alav dvarim harbe, because there's a gulas hanefesh that has to be celebrated. So Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu dafka with that. with that lechem oni, kol yimei chayecha l'rabos halelos, even in the long dark laila of galus. And he says that's why the Tana left out Pesach, because there's no chiddush to say that you have to be mesaper b'tzias Mitzrayim bizman habayis when you have Karban Pesach. Bizman HaGolus, it's a chiddush. Bizman HaGolus, to remind us that we're not just celebrating a relief of physical servitude, but of spiritual servitude, that's a chiddush. So it's Dafka Matzu Moror, which are the Matzuz al Shema, Moriz al Shema, Shem Moru es Chayeim, which are the reason that we're Meshabeach even Bizman HaZeh. Pesach is an obvious one. The Matzu Moror are what we're emphasizing, why we're Meshabeach still Bizman HaZeh. Okay. Try to get a little bit further than the Haggadah before we end. Okay, v'gamis hagoya v'hisha amda. Let's go a little bit ahead. V'hisha amda lavasenu v'lanu l'shalach ablevar amalein l'chalasenu. I'm sorry, no, this is before v'hisha amda. Right before v'gamis hagoya sheri avodu donanochi v'achrei kein yetsu b'ruchush gadol. So he quotes from Reb Chaim Brisker, who wrote a haskama, by the way, to his svarim, to the svarim that he actually published. He has a haskama from Chaim Brisker. So he quotes from Chaim Brisker, based on what it says in Shulchan Aruch, in Choshen Mishpat, more of a halachic word, in Choshen Mishpat, in Simkuf Ayin Vav, that if you have a partner, he doesn't have to, let's say two guys are partners in business, and one of them was on a business trip doing something for the business, and he got captured by some foreign government, and he's being held for ransom. So is it the partner's responsibility? You know, he was on a business trip, so is it the partner's responsibility to ransom him? So he says it's not his chiyuv to let him out and to get him out. And the reason is because that wasn't part of the shutfas, meaning I wasn't entering the shutfas thinking that I'm going to have to ransom you from imprisonment, and therefore it's not the person's chiyuv. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So he said, "Lios mishubadim zelazeh begufam." Nah, it was a monetary deal, but not that we should have to suffer with the guf. So by Bnei Yisrael, we are chayiv to be moser our guf l'shem Hashem. It says b'chol nafshecha. So the shuras hadin is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, would have to save us and be an Arev when our guf is threatened. It's not just some monetary deal. B'chol nafshecha, we have to give up our guf, so if that's the idea of the shutfus, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to save us when our guf is threatened. He says, based on that, he says, that's what Don Anochi does not mean that Hashem is saying that he's going to judge them. No, it's Adun, then it would have been Adun Anochi, I will judge them. Don Anochi, says Reb Chaim, is that Hashem is Donis Atzmo Kaviyachal. Hashem says, I open up a Choshen Mishpar and I see that I have a Chiyuv over here, that I have to do something about this. And he says, maybe you could add to what Reb Chaim says, the Hemshech of the Agada. What's the very next paragraph? Vihi Sha'amda Lavo Sein of Alanu. So everyone asks the cat, what's the Vihi? What's it? It's what was under Lavo Sein of Alanu. So he says it's going back on Don Anochi, the yisod of the promise that Hashem promises us that He's always going to save us in our tsar, in our suffering, wherever we are, is because Don Anochi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has that deal with us, that we have to give up B'chol Nafshecha, we have to give up our very lives for Him. So V'gam Es Hagoy, Es is L'Rabos Kol Tzara V'Tzara Sha'asidu Likros Ben Hagoyim. Any tzara that ultimately comes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes responsibility to help us out through those tzaras. Moving on, let's see. Try to mark off the good ones. They're all good. Try to mark off the ones that I understood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given us their money and not split the sea, Dayenu. It's an odd thing to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for at this time. If you look at most of the Dayenus, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Shabbos, Torah, Man, Eretz Yisrael, and money. So which one does it belong, right? Money doesn't seem like it belongs on the list. Why are we so thankful that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the money, especially considering where we were going? We were going to a midbar where we couldn't really do anything with the money anyhow. So what exactly are we thankful for with the money? So he says maybe you could explain this based on a perish and a pasuk in Tehillim. Pasuk in Tehillim kofei ve'yotziyim b'kesef v'zov ve'ein koshel. So what does it mean ve'ein koshel? There will be no stumbling when we go out with kesef v'zov. So he says maybe you could say based on the tshuva of Marit. The Marit writes in the tshuva in Chelik Beis or Chaim Simin Vav that why is it be Yitzchak Yikari L'Chazera? He says the way it works out is that Esav, in general, married anybody and everybody. He was not particularly picky with his wives. Mashein Kain, Klal Yisrael is always nistabik b'minam. Klal Yisrael is very sensitive to intermarriage. That's something that the Minag Yisrael was for a long, long time, that if someone, Rachmana Litzlan, in a family intermarries, so what do? You're familiar with the Minag, right? It's a shiva, so it's avelus, kilu, the person died. So it's a minig yisrael. That's something that we're very, very sensitive about intermarriage. Because of that, our yichus, ki b'yitzchak yikari l'chazera, the yichus is much stronger back to Avram Avinu, because it wasn't, didn't get mixed in with too many other people. And that's how the Yerushas Haaretz can happen dafka through the zera that comes through Yitzchak. And he says that's one of the reasons that the Gemara tells Halachal Moshe Misinai Esav Sonei Liyakov, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu built into Teva that there's anti-Semitism. Because as much as we're upset when one of ours marries outside the faith, they're pretty upset too that their kids are marrying Jews. They're not happy about it either. They don't want us. And that's that Hakadosh Baruch Hu built that into Teva to keep us loyal to our our people, to be mistabik b'minam. So he says maybe that's v'achrei kein yetzu b'ruchosh gadol. Chazal tell us in the Gemara Maseches Bechoros, he says that every member of Klal Yisrael left with tishim chamorim nosim bizas Mitzrayim. Each member of Klal Yisrael, according to the Gemara Bechoros, had 90 donkeys loaded with bizas Mitzrayim. So the Chora, if the biza was just Tashlumen for the avoda that we did, well, aren't we getting overpaid now? Meaning, how much work could we have done? It was manual labor, so what's minimum wage? So how much work could we have possibly done to get 90 chamorim loaded with bizas Mitzrayim? Elamai, we're getting paid not just for our work, but for the tata's work and for the zaydi's work and for the right. We're getting paid for all the generations. Why do we get paid for all the generations? It only works if we can connect back to the generations. If we have a shaychus, if we have a yichus with the generations, that's what the Gemara says. He says that's what Avram Avinu's taina is. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Tes, Shelo kiyem bahem va'achrei kein yetsu b'rechush gadol. That it's bahem. These are my children, and I know that these are my children, and that's why they need a rechush gadol, not just a rechush. It's not just for their own work. They need all the rechush for all the generations. So going back to the pasuk in Tehillim. So what do we say that we left with kesef zav ve'ein koshel? What's ve'ein koshel? That we leave with all this kesef zav, and that's the raya that we weren't nichshal in intermarriage, that we weren't nichshal binis nisu ehem. And that's how he says, maybe that's how we could explain the dayenu, that we're telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ilu nas lanu es mamonu v'lo kar lanu es hayam. Giving us that money, it wasn't about the money, we couldn't do anything with the money anyway. Giving us that money was a raya about the purity of Klal Yisrael. It was a raya about a maila in Ruchnius, the same way Torah is a maila in Ruchnius, and Eretz Yisrael is a maila in Ruchnius, and all the other dayenus are a maila in Ruchnius. This is a maila in Ruchnius that we left with all that money, because it's a raya that we relate to our fathers and our grandfathers and our great-grandfathers, and that's why we left with all that money. Time for one more. I'm trying to see if I have a short one. Okay, let's try. Matzazol shemal shem shlo hispik b'tzeicham shlo v'seinu lahachmitz. The Mishnah actually gives a different reason. The Mishnah doesn't say that the matzah is because we were in a rush. The Mishnah says shenigalu v'seinu mitzrayim. The matzah is because we had a geula from Mitzrayim. The Tos Yantiv and the Kesef Mishnah point out that the Rambam and the Rif changed the Mishnah to conform to the Lashon HaAgada, that it was because of the rush. So he says, maybe Elu Velu Devrei Elokim Chayim, that based on what we said, two gulos, gulos haguf, we got to end with two gulos, right? Gulos haguf and gulos hanefesh. The chipazon was for what? It wasn't for the gulos haguf. The chipazon, why? How do I know it wasn't for the gulos haguf? Because the actual avoda stopped Rosh Hashanah. So we didn't need to rush out for gulos haguf. The rush out, that was purely for gulos hanefesh. The avoda was already long over by the time we got out. So Bizman and Mishnah, when we had a Beis HaMikdash, so we mentioned the regular geula, geula saguf, the geula pshuta. So we talk about matzah because there was a geula. But nowadays, when we're reading the Haggadah, so we dafka emphasize matzah zu shanu ochum, shanu ochum. Now we're eating nowadays al shema because shalom hispik b'tzeikim shalom v'sinim l'hachmitz, because we were in such a rush. And he says that's why the Rambam, in the beginning of his Nusach Haggadah, writes, Nusach ha'agada shenogu ba Yisrael bizman ha'golus kachi. Maskil al kol sheni va'omer bivihilu yatzanu mimitzrayim. The Rambam Dafka emphasizes the nusach of the Haggadah now in Golus, here and now, is bivihilu yatzanu mimitzrayim, that we were rushed out, because that Dafka is something we can only celebrate. That's something that the only part that we can celebrate today, which is the Gulas HaNefesh and not the Gulas HaGuf. That's the matzah zeh sha'anu ochlim. And he says maybe, and we'll close with this, maybe that's pshat in the pasuk. Shivas yomim tochel of matzos lechem oni ki b'chipazon yatzasim mitzrayim leman tizkor es yom tzeischem eretz mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. Dafka, where do we mention chipazon? In the pasuk that tells us to remember yom tzeischem eretz mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. You're eating lechem oni. It's poor man's bread. You're in galus. You're aniyim in all in yanim. But because it was b'chipazon, we have what to celebrate. We have a gulas and nefesh to celebrate. And that's why it needs to be kol yimei chayecha l'rabos halelos, like Ben Zoma, even in the lelos of galus, we're still celebrating that gulas and nefesh.